I think it's good to know that the era is limited. It's helpful because then you won't put all your eggs in this era. It's limited. It's being wrapped up. We're going to look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 at last. Everybody, this is Martin Zender. Okay, here we go. I'm recording this on Thursday morning, which is, again, unusual. I got in late last night. I was out of town. And it's really sad. Sad but glorious. My dear friend Charlie Kronk in North Fairfield, Ohio, is dying of liver cancer. And I went to see him yesterday with Kelly. Picked up Kelly in Canton, and then went to North Fairfield and met Matt Rohr back there as well. And we all go way back. Matt, Charlie, and I go back to the around 93, 94, you know, when this work started, and we've been brothers for that long. Charlie, solid as a rock, just what a believer, what faith. He knows what death is. He knows what resurrection is. He knows what he's coming into. He knows about ruling and reigning with Christ. He's victorious, and all, of course, it's scary to face that. I'm telling you, we know we talk about death. We all talk about it. We don't have any fear of death. But, you know, when you're facing down the barrel of non-existence, when you're looking down the barrel of oblivion, it has to be scary. It really does. And you know what death looks like. It's not pleasant to see. And yet my friend Charlie, so strong in faith, he really perked up when we were there. And it was a joy to be with him. Of course, it's tough. And we speak honestly about it. We don't hide our feelings. I kissed Charlie on the neck when I left him and hugged him. And it's tough. But again, we sorrow, but not as those who have no expectation. And what a strong expectation this man has. But again, death for now is a grim reality. Don't let anybody tell you it's not. So I got back late last night. I didn't do the show. Here I am this morning. I'm going to do tomorrow's show this afternoon. So I'm going to get a double dose here. But this is what I do. This is what I love to do. I do this because of you, because of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because of Charlie, because of Matt, because of Kelly, because it's what I have to do, because you're out there, because you're listening, because we have to fortify one another. Death is still the enemy. Christ has abolished death. We have a message of good news. We have a promise. We have an expectation. We don't have a hope. We have an expectation. We know what God's going to do concerning death. We sorrow, but not as the world sorrows. Now, I'm happy because this era is limited. 1 Corinthians 7:29. This I am averring, brethren. Why does a concordant use these crazy words like averring, to aver? Why doesn't he just say this I'm saying? Well, because there's a separate Greek word for saying. This is aver. To aver is to declare forcefully and confidently. It's different than just saying, not as insistent. This I am averring, Greek word phemi, P-H-E-M-I. If it had been the word say, we would have seen the Greek word lego here, L-E-G-O, say. But no, it's phemi, and it is to declare forcefully. Paul's confident about this. This I'm averring, the era is limited. Now, I looked up this word limited, and I found out that the only other place this Greek word is used is in Acts 5:6. It was translated in shroud. I thought, what? And it's when Ananias and Sapphira, they embezzled from the apostles. Not a real good thing to do, to embezzle against Peter. In an Acts administration of miraculous works and wonders and being struck dead instantly. Well, that's what they did. And verse 5, they'd already found out that Ananias's wife had embezzled from Peter and the apostles. Now they find his wife Sapphira. Now Ananias himself does it. And Ananias, hearing that his wife had already fallen dead, gives up the soul. He gives up the soul and died. And great fear came upon all those hearing these things naturally. Now rising, the younger men enshroud him. They enshroud Ananias. This word is translated, the same Greek word translated limited in 1 Corinthians 7. I thought, what is that? So I tried to find the common denominator. That's what you try to do when you see these contexts, what's the common denominator between limited, between an air being limited and a body being enshrouded? The Greek word, okay, the Greek word here is sunstello. S-U-N-S-T-E-L-L-O, sunstello, and it means together put. Together put, putting something together. Well, when you enshroud a dead body, you wrap it so that as you're transporting it to the tomb, the legs and arms aren't flailing about. So you limit it. You enshroud it. And now, oh, limit. All right, now we're drawing the analogy. Now we're seeing the common ground between enshroud and limit. Something is wrapped up. Loose ends are being wrapped up. That's the way I put this. Paul is saying here that the era is being wrapped up. I'm thinking of Hebrews, I think 9:26. Jesus Christ came at the conclusion of the eons. The eons began to conclude when Jesus Christ came. That was hump day. So the cross of Christ marked the concluding of the eons. They started wrapping up at that point. Well, this era, which is within the eons, started wrapping up as Paul is writing this. And perhaps when Paul received his message, the era is limited. The era was being wrapped up. And we're to always think of it this way. We're to always think that we're seconds away from being snatched away. And so Paul is bringing this truth forward to the Corinthians. Era is limited. It's being wrapped up and shrouded. That furthermore, those also having wives may be as not having them. I'm going to explain this to you. It's a curious statement, isn't it? Those having wives may be as not having them, and those lamenting as not lamenting, and those rejoicing as not rejoicing, and those buying as not retaining. We're going to get to those houses here and the Titanic. Those buying is not retaining, and those using this world as not using it up, for the fashion of this world is passing by. All right, the fashion, Greek word schema, the way things are, the fashion of this world. Think of all the popular magazines, People Magazine, Elle Magazine, Vogue, whatever is in vogue. That's the fashion of this world, and we think it's so wonderful and so desirable. It's so there. It's in front of us all the time, and we tend to envy it. We tend to want it, and yet the fashion of this world is passing by. It's on its way down. If only you could see this stuff, and I'm teaching myself as well here. If only I could see this stuff for what it really is. If only I could assess it as God assesses it, and he sees it as passing away, and he's giving us that information through our apostle. The fashion of this world's passing by. Now, if the fashion of this world is passing by, do you want to find yourself enmeshed, engrossed, enamored of the fashion of this world? No. Folks, if you're on the Titanic, and you are, okay? If you're on the Titanic and you are, do you want to find yourself clinging to the boat? Are you going to run back to your first class stateroom and hug on to your golden bedpost? Are you going to stay on the boat and comment on how elegant is the silverware in the first class dining room? No, you're going to, at least I hope, you're going to want to get the heck off the boat. Folks, this is the Titanic. It's sinking. So you have a first class berth on the Titanic. Congratulations. Not. This ship is sinking. The lifeboat is this message we herald, Paul's gospel of grace. It is our, quote, rescuer out of the coming indignation. The more infatuated, engrossed, enamored you are of this sinking ship, the more your peace is going to flail, flag, and other words that begin with F, including founder. This is why Paul says that the world was crucified to him and him to the world. It died to him and he died to it. In other words, the world doesn't care about Paul. Paul doesn't care about the world. It's mutual disdain. Now, I have friends. I like to go, you know, to the barber shop down here and talk to Bob. I like to go to the YMCA and work out. There's some friendly people there, like Nancy at the desk, and I talk to her. I say hi. But I'm holding very loosely to these things. Sure, I like to have a little money in my bank account, but I'm holding loosely to it. Sure, I like the hot meal that Cindy puts on the table every day, but I'm holding loosely to it. And that's where we come to verse 29. Those having wives is not having them. Those lamenting is not lamenting. Those rejoicing as not rejoicing. And those buying as not retaining. And those using this world as not using it up. You use this world, but you don't use it up. That is, you take what it has to give you, but you don't use it up in the sense, like I think of putting a straw, like I used to do as a kid, in a glass of chocolate milk. And it's like, you want to use it all up. It's not enough to drink it. You want it. You want all of it. And your occupation is to get every bit of it, as much of it as you can. And using it up, that is plunging into it, exhausting yourself, exhausting the resources of the world, being so stuck on it, you know, like a barnacle to a ship, or like those slugs I talked about last week that stuck onto my tent fly in the morning. No, we're not going to leech or slug or slurp at this world. We're passing through. Walk lightly. Use it, but don't be in love with it. So I gotta have more of this world. No, don't do that. That's detrimental to your peace, because if your peace is based on things you have, if your peace is based on the fashion of this world, it changes. It goes up, it goes down. And so your peace will also change. It will go up and down. The Titanic went up and then it went down. And it was the ship that not even God could sink. That's what they said. Somebody actually wrote that in the newspaper. Not even God could sink this ship. All it took was a little iceberg. Oh, okay, well, it was a big iceberg. And here's a little historical information for you. If the guy in the crow's nest had not seen the iceberg, the Titanic would have been saved. But because he saw it, he worked to avert it, he steered it hard starboard, and the iceberg ripped the side of the ship as it gave it a glancing blow. Otherwise, if they would have hit it head on, it would have sustained damage to the bow, but it would not have sunk. I suppose there is a spiritual analogy there too. I'm going to work on that to come up with an analogy, because I can't think of a single spiritual analogy that answers to not steering away from the iceberg, but I will work on that. Until then, I remain Martin Zender. We're going to get to this. Those having wives, not having them. Lamenting's not lamenting. Rejoicing, not rejoicing. I'm going to get all this stuff. This is an amazing passage of scripture. And then I'm going to give you, I think, something you've maybe never heard before about how those who please the Lord. This is going to be advice for you married folks, and I'm telling you, your life's going to be easier after this next show. Maybe mine will too. That'd be great.